Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Philly Labrassac. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. You're the winemaker at Baron Philip de Rothschild, or one of the winemakers. I'm sure they've got
exactly.
A big team there.
Yeah, we've got a team of 7 winemakers in Bordeaux. And then there is, of course, the Chilean winemaking team. So, yeah, I'm one of the 7 in Bordeaux.
Lovely, lovely. But one of the nice things about you, your job, is you get to go off to Chile.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I've just done a vertical tasting of the wines from Chile. We tasted 2008 all the way through to 2015.
Exactly.
And I thought we'd just have a bit of a chat about what's going on in Chile from your perspective, not just about your wines, but also just a wee bit about the regions and in general as an overview. Does that sound right?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, so what's the winery in Chile called that you guys use?
We are Baron Philip de Rothschild Maipo Chile, because we are based in the Maipo Valley. We were based originally only in the Maipo Valley, which has always been the most famous valley of production in Chile.
It's just north of Santiago, isn't it?
South of Santiago, but 45 kilometers south.
Oh,
it's really close. Yeah, it is.
I always thought it was just slightly north, because you've got the hill going, the Andes wraps around the top. And
yeah, you have, in fact, Santiago, and then just 45 kilometers south, our Maipo Chile winery, so it's
okay.
Very, very close, you know. So
I'll have to check my maps again. You said you were originally based in Maipo, because it was the most famous.
Exactly. At first, our history began with a chateau, which is called Amaviva. So at first, the Baroness Philippine de Rothschild, which was at the head of the company at that time, she decided to produce wines from a new world-producing country. So she decided to settle in Chile, because our company has always been settled in Bordeaux at first. So we already had the expertise of the Bordeaux winemaking. In Bordeaux, you can find lots of different appellations, different climates, terroirs, grape varieties. So when the Baroness Philippine de Rothschild came to Chile, she fell in love with Chile, in fact, because it's a very long country where you have a very great diversity of terroirs and climates, because it's really diverse, it's really long. So from north to south, you won't find the same landscapes and terroirs and types of soils. So she decided to settle there. At first, she decided to create a premium chateau wine, which is called Almaviva.
Sorry?
Almaviva.
Almaviva.
It comes from Le Mariage de Figaro, which has been written by de Beaumarchais. So it's a French piece of art. So Almaviva comes from that work. She decided to settle in Chile with a very, very important producing family in Chile, which is the Gilisesti family, which is at the head of the company Concha y Toro, which is really the biggest producer of wine in Chile. So they created this joint venture, Almaviva. And the goal was here to produce wines as they do for Mouton Rothschild, for example. The goal was really to produce a premium wine from Chile. So the way of working, it's really premium chateau wine, really exclusive, prestigious way of working. And so Almaviva worked really well in Chile, and so the Baroness Philippine de Rothschild decided to do as her father did before with Mouton Cadet. The Baron Philippe de Rothschild was producing Mouton Rothschild, and then he decided to extend the knowledge of Bordeaux wines to a wider public, and so he created the Bordeaux brand Mouton Cadet. And so the Baroness Philippine de Rothschild decided to do the same in Chile, in fact. She decided to produce a brand from Chile, which is Escudo Rojo. So she launched it in 1999, and then she inaugurated the Maipo Vineyard in 2003. So we were based at first in the Maipo Valley.
Okay. But you source a lot of fruit from some of the other areas.
Exactly.
Colchagua and Cachapoal seem to be the two main ones.
Exactly. So,
do you own those vineyards, or is it purchased?
No, it's a partnership with grape producers. The goal is to work in the same way as we do in Bordeaux with our partners who we produce Mouton Cadet with. The goal is to select very specific plots of vines. and to work during all the vegetative growth with our partners to grow the grapes as we wanted to grow. Then it's different from Outokade because the grapes are going to be harvested and transferred to our winery in the Maipo Valley, and then we will vinify everything in our Maipo winery.
Okay, that's a fair distance from Cachapoong, Colchagua to Maipo, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be up to like Colchagua, it can be up to like 100 kilometers, yeah. 150. Is it,
do they crush the fruit before they transport
no,
them?
No.
So it's all
no,
in trays?
No, they don't crush it. It's harvested by hand. So the berries are really intact, and so when they're transferred, there are no risks of of oxidation or anything because the grapes are really untouched.
Yeah,
No berries crushed or anything.
Okay, well, that's an interesting way of doing it.
It is. Then we wait for the grapes with like impatience, and then when the grapes arrive, we do sortings on the grapes just to remove some parts of leaves or wood. And then we vinify all the berries by ourselves. Yep.
Okay. And during your presentation, you talked about some of the times the climate was a Mediterranean year
exactly.
or a Atlantic year.
Yep.
And I don't know Maipo, but I know that Colchagua is more oceanic and Cachapoong is more Andes influenced.
In fact, it depends where you source your parcels. You know, in Chile, they're doing right now a very great job specifying every part of every valleys. You know, now they are doing lots of differentiations between a vineyard in Cachapoal, which is closer to the ocean, and one which is closer to the Andes. So the styles of wines are really different depending on they come from. More the Andes Valley, mountain, or the ocean. So, of course, Cachapoal is a little closer to the ocean, but it's a big valley. So, also there are places where you have more the Andes mountain in France.
So you really said Cachapoal was close to the valley. I thought that was Andes, and Colchagua was closer to the ocean.
Cachapoal is more near the Andes, and Colchagua is more near the ocean. That's what you were saying.
Yeah,
maybe
no, I get the other it way around. That's all right. The way I remember it, I always get them mixed up. And I just go, all right, Colchagua, C-O, O is for ocean. Cachapoal is A for Andes.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
And that's,
yeah,
that's, I never thought that's about the only that. Way I remember it. Otherwise, yeah. I forget it all the time.
That's a good way to remember it.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so you're saying sometimes you've got more maritime...
Yeah,
sometimes you've got more oceanic.
Yeah, it depends really on the weather conditions, in fact. What we call more oceanic conditions are like colder vintages, colder or rainier. It depends a lot.
Yeah, but you've got that Humboldt current, which is a cooling current that comes up the side.
Exactly. So that would be typical for the 2008 vintage, 2010 also. 2013 is very oceanic also. And then there are what we call more Mediterranean influenced kinds of vintages. In fact, we call it Mediterranean because it makes us think as we would think in France. The Mediterranean vineyards are very concentrated and very well structured. So when we say that there is a Mediterranean influence, in fact, it's because there is a hotter weather condition during all the vegetative growth, and then we have more concentration and more tannic structure in the wines. So that's why we give those kinds of specificity, oceanic and Mediterranean. Yeah.
I noticed as we went through the vintages from 2008 through to 2015, the influence became more and more of Maipo fruit in the Cabernet Sauvignon and less of the Colchagua and Cachapoal.
Mm-hmm.
What's driving that?
It's mainly because our vineyard in the Maipo Valley became older with time, and so there was more concentration in the berries. So you know, when your vineyard is young, the vines produce berries, of course, but they are more focused on the fruity side and not that much on the structure, because the vine produces a little more when it's young. So of course you can do like green harvests or something like that to concentrate, but still the quality of the tannins is not the same and you are really more focused on the fruity style. When the vines get older and older, they concentrate more on the tannic structure. So that's exactly what we're looking for the Cabernet Sauvignon entering the Escudero Roblen. So that's why our percentage of Cabernet Sauvignon coming from our vineyard in the Maipo Valley became more and more important, because there was more and more concentration in the berries, and so those wines could enter our Escudero Roblen, which is our premium wine in the Maipo, in our Maipo winery.
Okay, one of the things the presentation was supposed to be about was Bordeaux blends from Chile.
Yeah.
But looking at the grape blend, you've got Cabernet Sauvignon, fair mm-hmm. enough. Carmenere doesn't really appear in Bordeaux these days.
No, in fact,
And then
actually,
you've got
no.
Syrah, and then you've got a bit of Cabernet Franc. Now, Cabernet Franc, fair enough, you see that.
Yeah, it's kind of an unusual blend.
it's not your classic Bordeaux blend.
No, it's not a classic Bordeaux blend. The goal was more to work on the adequation between Chile and Bordeaux. So that's why you can find more Bordeaux grape varieties, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, and more Chilean grape varieties as Carmenere and Syrah. So the goal was really to find the adequation between more Bordeaux grape varieties and Chilean grape varieties. The goal is not to produce a Bordeaux wine in Chile. It's to produce a Chilean wine with our know-how and the elegance of Bordeaux wines. But of course, the goal is not to produce a Bordeaux wine in Chile, because what would be the point? So the goal is to really work on the adequation between the four grape varieties.
Okay. The two main grape varieties were normally Cab Sav and Carmenere. And I always think of Carmenere as a slightly more structured version of Merlot.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, genetically speaking, it's a cousin of the Merlot.
It's what? A cousin?
Yeah. A cousin, yeah. I don't know if you know the history about the introduction of the Carmenere in Chile.
I do, but you do? Go on.
Because it's a great story, because at first it was a mistake, in fact. At first, the wine production in Chile came from the Spanish conquistador. So the Spanish conquistador began to produce wines in Chile in the 16th century. And then some people from the aristocracy in Chile, they decided to introduce Bordeaux grape varieties in Chile, because they wanted to have more variety of grape varieties. And so there were some people who came to Bordeaux at first to bring back Merlot. But Merlot and Carmenere, they really look alike when you don't really know what you're looking for, because they were aristocrats. They were not experts in recognizing the grape varieties. And because they're genetically cousins, then they mixed up Merlot and Carmenere. So they brought back in Chile both Merlot and Carmenere grape variety, because at that time, the Carmenere was still really present in Bordeaux. Then because of the phylloxera crisis that nearly destroyed the Bordeaux vineyard, the Carmenere disappeared, and then it wasn't reintroduced really well. So people lost, in fact, the Carmenere production in Bordeaux. But it's coming back. We see more and more plantation of Carmenere, but still it's a really low production.
Yeah.
And so in Chile, they brought back both Merlot and Carmenere, and so they reproduced the grape varieties, but the plots were mixed of Merlot and Carmenere. They were very unlucky, because the Merlot is a very early grape variety, and Carmenere is a really late grape variety. In fact, when you harvest red grape varieties in Chile, you begin with Merlot and you end with Carmenere,
because
it needs a lot more time to ripen well, because it's got this tannic structure which can be kind of disturbing if you harvest too early. So as they were harvesting everything as Merlot, they harvested the Carmenere really, really, really too early. And so it wasn't really an issue because the wines were very produced locally and sold in Chile. But when they got internationally famous, then the Bordeaux people and French people in general, they found it kind of weird, because the Merlot, which was produced in Chile, has those kind of green aromas, like vegetable and
green
pepper, exactly,
yeah.
Which is typical of the unripe Carmenere. So it made scientists who were experts in recognizing grape varieties go to Chile to understand what was going on, because normally Merlot Chilean wines would have been really, really ripe and really focused on the black fruit and, yeah, really fruity, but not with a green pepper profile. And so they realized that there was a misunderstanding in the recognizing of the grape varieties, and that Merlot and Carmenère were, in fact, mixed up.
And actually, a big improvement in quality of vineyards would be to separate the two out.
Exactly. It was kind of a challenge because there were lots and lots of estates which had this mix, Merlot and Carmenère. And then, you know, Chile decided to develop their identity around Carmenère because it wasn't used anywhere else in the world. And so they decided to make Carmenère their identity grape varieties. In fact, it's kind of funny. They even have their National Carmenère Day in Chile, which is on the 24th of November. Yeah. So every 24th of November, everybody drinks Carmenère from Chile in Chile.
Nice.
So it's nice. Yeah.
Okay. The other wine that you've got in the blend is Syrah as well, which I understand there are trials of Syrah being grown in Bordeaux at the moment.
Yeah, for now it's really just a work to see if Syrah could fit in the Bordeaux Bordeaux vineyard because of the climate change. So it's just trials for now. It's not in the set of specification of the appellation. It's just a trial to see if it could it could work or not. It's an experiment.
What does the Syrah give in your Chilean Escada Riojo?
It gives really the roundness and the black fruit aromas to the wine. So the goal with Syrah is to work it with a lot of attention because Syrah, if it's too hot, can get like overripe. So it's really important to taste the berries really often because they can really suffer from dehydration. So it's important to harvest them at the good moment. If you harvest them too late, then the wine will lose their acidity, and then it's not really good for the balance of the wine. So the goal is to harvest the Syrah at the perfect moment when there are lots of black, red fruits and also this roundness, which is really typical, which gives a very nice fruity side to the wine.
One of the things I noticed when we were tasting the wines, I mentioned this to you, I raised my hand and put this up, is the 2008-2009 wines, I got a herbaceous, minty, eucalyptusy type note, mm-hmm. which I always associate with Maipo.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the percentage of Maipo increased, that herbaceous note, eucalyptus note, decreased. And I was scratching my head going, what is going on here?
What is going on?
This is not what I was expecting. Because it is, you know, Cabernet Sauvignon, there's two places in the world you get at that sort of eucalyptus note. Coonawarra in Australia and Maipo in Chile. And that's, you get that, you go, okay, it's one of those two wine places. Done, nice and easy. And then this has just completely flummoxed me. So what's going on there?
In fact, we find more eucalyptus notes from our side in Cachapoal or Colchagua than in Maipo. Because, you know, the eucalyptus note, they mainly come from the presence of eucalyptus trees around the parcels. It's really impressive because when you are in a plot of vine and there are like eucalyptus trees, around, you can really smell it. It smells really, really those minty notes and eucalyptus.
So where the flavor's coming from. You think it's from aromatics from the trees getting onto the vines, making it into the vat, and then expressing themselves in the wine?
For us, it comes from there. Of course, there can be also some kinds of specific soils, really fresh soils that could give those minty aromas. But we found it to come really from the trees because in our Maipo vineyard, we don't have much eucalyptus trees, and in fact, we don't have this aroma. So we think it comes from the trees, in fact. So as we reduced our part of supplies in Cachapoal and Colchagua and increased our part of Cabernet Sauvignon in Maipo, that's why you lost it, maybe.
Okay then, Ofeli, thank you very much for your time. I know you've got to catch a plane very shortly, so cheers very much.
I do. Thank you for your time too.
Cheers.